ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Soccer Matters.
Kicks that score, the U.S. with Dempsey.
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside. Spain score.
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, you know, you want to know something, Aaron? It is very tough to get respect. And I'm going to tell you a story about how it's very tough. You know, you'd think after 18 years on the radio and doing television and being in broadcasting for 25 years, you might get some respect. By the way, Soccer Matters brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So a gentleman named Michael Wallach reaches out and wants to be a Facebook connection. He's the managing director on the board of directors at the Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum. I believe he lives... I think the museum's in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know any of this, so I just click and say, yes, he's a guy in sports, no problem. I just got a note from Michael today. Glenn, thanks so much for accepting my request. As the managing director of Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum in Greenville, South Carolina, I'm reaching out to Major League Baseball players, past and present, and others associated with the great game of baseball in an attempt to garner support for the museum. Now, you know where this is going, right? You know who he thinks I am?
I believe so.
Glenn Davis, the old Astro, who happened to be on the Astros when I was playing professional soccer in the 80s. So he thinks I'm the former baseball player, which leads me to a story. This thing goes on forever and asking for support and everything else. But he thinks I'm Glenn Davis, the baseball player. The former Astro. So what's funny here is back in the 80s, as we're trying to carve an identity out in Houston, we were out in the community constantly. They'd send us to events. Some of the strangest, most interesting events we'd show up at. You know, you go sign autographs at a country bar where, you know, people are coming up to you and like, yeah, so tell me about this game, soccer, you know, and, you know, which was okay, right? But you weren't really in places that were necessary. It was pioneering, let's just put it that way. So I remember going to an event and, you know, representing the Houston Dynamos with an S soccer team. And, you know, they have a name tag on you and it says Glenn Davis. And, I mean, I must have had 4 or 5 people that night come up to me and start talking about baseball, thinking I was the Astro, and then I would quickly, well, you know, we have a professional soccer team here. It was a way for me to intro that. I just happened to have the same name as him. So anyway, it's pretty funny to get this from Michael. I haven't responded to him, but I'll have to tell him I'm not the Glenn Davis he's actually looking for. On another note, I also lost my phone. And... not lost my phone. My phone's broken. So it's been a really nice couple of days, actually, without it. Tomorrow I'll try to get a phone back in order. I'm sure my family members might be concerned about me. Tim Hankinson Strong, the former Tampa Bay Mutiny coach. This is pretty incredible. His wife is Yvette Hankinson, and actually she's been my stage manager on soccer games. A lot of college stuff. But Yvette Miller Hankinson organizing the fundraiser. You go to GoFundMe.com. Tim has got cancer, and they're raising some real good funds for him there. So GoFundMe.com. You can find it over on Facebook Soccer Matters if you'd like to get over there. Okay, so back to this player development thing where we talk about Ruud van Nistelrooy had some comments about the fact that in Europe there's so much pressure on players. And we only have 4 minutes here, so we're really not going to get into it how I'd like to. It was a tweet that was put out. It got a lot of response. If you read the tweet closely, it was really about the pressures on youth soccer players. Now, this was you know, kind of a curtain raiser for people to come in and weigh in on player development. But it was really specifically on the pressure and maybe the volume of training that kids are doing. And look, there's a lot right and wrong about player development, but you and I know it's never going to be perfect in this country. There are a lot of talented coaches out there. There's a lot of talented people working with young people. Great coaches. But you're also living under a rock if you don't think this is defined by dollars. And we can't ignore the fact that money brings pressure. Parents pay. Parents want results. They want scholarships. They aren't necessarily wanting the most important thing for their kid, which is a lifetime full of enjoyment around the game. Part of the job of youth soccer clubs and coaches and their vision is to promote the beauty of the game so that youth players that don't go to a higher level in the game still have a love for it and become fans. Fathers share sports with their sons and daughters. A mother does. They ultimately become ticket buyers. Parents then can help teach the sport to their young and have these wonderful shared experiences. This already is happening. It's happened for many, many years. Soccer's been taught by fathers and households forever. But this is where the primary focus should be. It's not, if you're not Messi or Ronaldo or you don't get a college soccer scholarship, it's not over. So at the end of the day, when you've coached kids, do they have love and respect for the game? Or are they just getting churned through the turnstile of a ton of training sessions and all kinds of rhetoric and, youth soccer clubs marketing like crazy, why they're the best and guaranteeing this and that? Or is it simply love and respect for the game? Is that what's being taught? I really hope so. And coaches have to look at individual soccer players, know when to pick up the tempo with them, when to pull back. It's not just full bore all the time. I think some coaches believe it's full bore all the time. If it is with younger players, it's wrong. A perfect example is the amount of women that come through youth soccer. They play college soccer. They don't go to NWSL games. So I question how much they really loved playing the game. So I hope that is never lost. Coaches are really stretched thin, too. And a lot of times they can't take the personal time. All right, that's going to wrap this segment up. We're going to come back. Tyler Pascher will be on the show. We'll also have Angela Kelly, the head coach of Texas. I wish we could take some calls and get into the player development thing a little bit more, but we will. We'll have more time. We have a show next week. By the way, Albert Elise at Boa Vista in Portugal. La Pantarita has 2 goals and 16 appearances. Boa Vista plays tomorrow. Not good news, though. They're fighting off relegation. So Albert Elise is not having the best of time right now in Portugal. His team is in last place. Pato signed by Orlando. Gabriel Batistuta, some links to him coaching in the U.S., but every team's got a coach right now. Chicharito seems to be working hard, apparently, according to social media. Maybe he got shamed into wanting to get back to being a full-time focused soccer player. All right. Oh, this is a great song. Give Me Wings. Rod Stewart. I wasn't ready for that one, Aaron Rabel. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Tyler Pascher, Houston Dynamo midfielder, adding to the depth of the squad, comes from the USL. Tyler Pascher is up next. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
I'm Greg Berhalter, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, this show is brought to you and presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. John and his firm getting the sport of soccer on the airwaves. They've done it for many, many years, so consider them when you need a personal injury attorney. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT is the number to call them. John and his firm are going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. So let's say you get in a fender bender, a car accident, a boat accident, a motorcycle. You might work in a refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. Well, there's only one person to call. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. And they bring us our next interview. Exciting signing for the Houston Dynamo comes from USL Indy 11. He has played in Major League Soccer with Sporting Kansas City. Midfielder capable of playing left back. He is Tyler Pascher, and he joins us now. Tyler, thanks very much for coming on the program.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, so before we get on the air, you apologize to all the Houstonians for bringing Toronto, Canada weather here. I love it.
I sure did, man. I did not expect this.
Well, we wanted you to feel right at home, so I'm not even sure you brought a heavy jacket here after hearing of the temperatures.
No, you don't get used to the cold, I'll tell you that.
All right, so let's talk about when you find out that you are going to the Houston Dynamo. How did you find out? Maybe what some of the conversations have been with Todd Ramos, the head coach.
Yeah, you know, it was an extensive process. It was something that my agent had approached me about for quite some time. And, you know, the Houston Dynamo continued to contact and keep up with my agent and Indy 11 and kind of see where I was at. And it was one of those things where at the end of the season, I thought it was a great time to make the jump to the next level. So I had multiple conversations with Matt and Tab about it, and they got a good feel about who I was as a person and really went through a good onboarding process.
Talking to Tyler Pascher, Houston Dynamo, 26 years of age, coming to the Houston Dynamo, had an outstanding season for Indy 11, doing a lot of damage there in the USL. You have played at Sporting Kansas City. You know what the level is in Major League Soccer. How will it be different this go-round for you?
I just personally think I've kind of found my stride, so I feel like I'm a little bit more prepared this time around, and I've definitely learned a lot and got a lot more educated in the game. So it's one of those where I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity I had at Sporting, and you know, little did I know, I don't think I was truly ready yet for the jump, and you know, I feel like the timing at this moment is right. So it's definitely something that I've been wanting to do for quite some time, and I'm grateful that I got the opportunity to do it.
Is this one of those things, because I want to just remind the listeners, in 2020 at Indy 11 in the USL Championship, Tyler Pascher, all-league, in his time there, 57 games, 22 goals. That's a heck of a return from a winger. I guess, is it one of those things where, you know, sometimes in life you just like everything just kind of aligns perfectly. Your level of experience is where you want it to be. Your level of confidence is it that time in your career, you think?
100%. Yeah, that's definitely how I'm picturing it for myself. Yeah.
All right. So coming to Houston, I know you're fully aware of the stockpile of wingers on this team. Mateo Bahamich coming from Argentina, Ari Lassiter, Fafa Pico, Nico Hansen. So I'm pretty sure you know there's going to be a lot of competition on this roster this year, which, to be fair, really was not there last year.
Right. No, I know a lot of great guys and a lot of great players. So, you know, it's one of those where I just got to kind of put in my work and earn my spot and, you know, work hard towards, you know, performing well and doing my job when I get the opportunity.
So your career is incredible. I mean, you've been at every level, the NPSL, the USL. You played in Finland, Major League Soccer. When you put all these ingredients together and the differing coaches you've had, I mean, for a guy that's 26 years of age, you've seen a lot of different things.
Yeah, I've been kind of all over the map, yeah.
If I take you to Finland, tell me about that experience when you played over there.
It was something. I lived up in the Arctic Circle there, so you know, you kind of got to experience the 22 hours of sunlight and the 22 hours of darkness. So that was a cool experience, but it was more so one of those things where I wanted to see what it was like playing over there, overseas, and it was not easy, don't get me wrong. So, you know, it was something that I did want to experience in general, just to see kind of where I was at, what level I could be at, and you know, it's one of those where I kind of decided, you know, I really would like to come back to North America and try playing in North America.
So when you say it was not easy, I'm assuming part of that is you know, the off field. I mean, you're in the Arctic Circle. That's different.
Light and darkness are different. A lot of things are different. Tell me, what were some of the deeper challenges there? Was it culturally? Was it getting along with people? Was it learning the local customs? What was it?
It was more so a language barrier. Hmm. Again, trying to find things to do in your off time. You know, you're only training 2 hours a day. And it was one of those things where, you know, it's cold or it's dark or it's light at night. You know, it was difficult adapting to kind of the lifestyle that they have over there. So for me, you know, it was a really cool experience and I'm glad I did it. And it kind of taught me a lot about what, you know, I was missing back or leaving back here in North America.
How much of a mental test was it?
It was tough. It was tough for sure. It definitely, again, it gave me a lot of gratitude for what you have over here. And the processes are a lot easier and the living situations are a lot easier. And over there, it's a grind. It's extremely difficult. So it's definitely toughened me up. No doubt about that.
Did you have to reach into some inner resources? Maybe, you know, you didn't know you had, as far as getting through this, or, you know, what mechanisms maybe did you use, to help you get through this and, you know, when you are challenged like this? Because look, we know many a player that, you know, can't handle the cultural change. Let's face it. I mean, American soccer players and Canadian soccer players are revered because they're adaptable in Europe. There's no question about that. So were there any resources you learned about that maybe now you can, you know, have a part of your toolkit?
I've got to say, finding something outside of soccer that was a stimulant, you know, mm-hmm. whether it was reading or learning something, you know, that's kind of what helped me get through everything. I kind of found something to look forward to come back to the house to every day after training. So that was something that I would say definitely gave me another aspect to my locker.
We're talking to Tyler Pascher, 26 years of age, new Dynamo midfielder, excited to see him in Houston, slashing winger. So, is it fair for me to say, and I said this on the radio show when you were signed, that having watched you, that there are some subtleties that remind me of Johnny Russell of Sporting Kansas City, you know, running at people, the aggression, taking people on, cutting in on your left foot. Is that fair for me to say? And then describe the way you see yourself as a player.
Yeah, I would say so. I grew up in an English academy, so that's more of the style of play I have, as a direct style. And Johnny as well played in England for a number of years. So that's definitely the kind of style of player I am. I'm a very direct, kind of go right to goal kind of player. And that's the system and the foundation subconsciously that I've been brought up in.
Do you prefer being a winger that, you know, is a touchline winger that gets the width and brings width to a team? Or do you like the inverted side of it, or the combination of both?
I would say a combination of both.
Yeah.
The ability to kind of float back between both sides, yeah.
Yeah, because at Indy 11, I saw you cutting in on your left foot wonderfully on a number of occasions.
Yeah, a few times.
All right, so what people don't know is you're also capable of left back. So give us what you had told me before, a little bit about your experiences as a left back and where you learned how to play left back. So that adds to the versatility of the Dynamo roster.
Yeah, when I came back from England, I went to Toronto FC's academy, and I actually had the privilege to learn how to play left back from Jimmy Brennan. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that name.
Yes, absolutely.
But he kind of gave me the fundamentals of understanding how to play left back. So I got converted into that at 16 and played that for a number of years, and played that with the youth national team as well. So I've got some experience with it at a international level as well as at a professional level too.
So it's a place you're certainly very comfortable with.
Yes, most definitely.
All right. I want to take you into, and we're talking to Tyler Pascher, new signing for the Houston Dynamo. Your time with Canada at the youth levels, under 20, under 17, how valuable those experiences were. And then also take us into some of the coaches that, you know, have been very influential in your career.
Yeah, of course. It was a blessing and grateful that I got the opportunity to play for Canada at those levels. The experience that I remember the most with the youth national team was definitely the under 17 World Cup in Mexico, getting to play and train in some of the nicest facilities down there and play exhibition games against other under 17 national teams. Kind of give you the perspective of where you're at with your talent and your ability, playing against guys your age that are some of the best players around the world at their age. So that was definitely a really great experience. And as for coaches, There's been a number of them that have influenced me over my life, and I'll feel bad if I miss out on saying any of their names, because there's actually been quite a bit. But one that sticks out to me the most would probably be Eddie Edgar. He's coached me through my youth, childhood, an English coach as well, that kind of gave me the fundamentals that helped me understand my style of play.
And you did mention prior that you spent time in England. So as a young man, I guess like from 9 to 15 or 16, you were going over to Newcastle, and you were obviously plugged into the Newcastle youth system over there. You seem to do that very consistently. Tell us a little bit about that story and how that opportunity came about.
Yeah, so it came about through my youth coach, Eddie, whose son was actually over there playing at the time and signed for the first team for Newcastle United. And what I was doing was I was spending a few months there and coming back to Canada and doing schoolwork and playing for basically the ODP Essential Provincial team in Canada. And then I was doing that back and forth kind of thing, bringing my schoolwork as well. Teachers would give me to do over there while I was there. And it did that back and forth from the age of 9 to 15 or 16. So yeah, it was definitely pretty crazy to be doing it at such a young age.
Tyler Pascher joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to him for coming in here. A pretty interesting time for you to be coming to Houston with COVID and then this blast of Arctic air. I guess we're trying to take you back to your days playing in Finland. How challenging has the whole COVID thing been for you? How challenging was it with Indy 11? And you know, what have we learned during this time period maybe?
I mean, it's not been easy. It's not been easy from anyone outside of the sport. And, you know, it's just been kind of one of those situations where we've all just had to adapt to it. And, you know, regarding the season last year, there was a lot of ifs, ands, or buts if we were going to play, if we were continue, you know, it was all up in the air. But it was one of those that definitely, again, had to create a lot of mental toughness to get through to be prepared to play for the season when it came about. So, again, it was definitely a crazy experience. So, you know, taught everybody a lot, taught myself a lot, what to be grateful for, right? So, you know, I'm again grateful for the opportunity that I get to be here and, you know, go through this, you know, situation, you know, just have to adapt to it and continue to move forward.
All right. So this is not the norm. You know, Mark Anthony Kay going from Louisville to LAFC, Tyler Pascher going to the Houston Dynamo. Generally, you know, MLS teams want to make sure that the light is shined on their own academies and their own USL teams, and they're bringing players up through that system. This has got to be pretty rewarding for you that the Dynamo have come in for you and have tracked you and monitored you to what you said with your agent and to be getting this opportunity. Do you feel like there's a lot more USL players that certainly would deserve this type of an opportunity? Because I certainly see that, and I've often wondered why a few more aren't getting these chances, because you know, the talent, the quality, it's down there in USL, and it's very, very important as a base for Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I would say there is a ton of talent down there. And, you know, every guy out there wants the opportunity to have exactly what...
Well, hold on. Did you say there isn't a ton of talent down there?
No, there is.
Okay.
Yeah, there is.
My ears were playing games with
me. No, you're fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody there wants the same opportunity that Mark and I have achieved, right? And you notice it when you're playing, because every game's a grind. Every guy is out there working his butt off to try and get that opportunity. So I do believe that there's a ton of talent. And, you know, it just pays tribute to everybody down in the league that it can be an avenue to work your way back up into MLS, or to work your way for your first time in MLS. You know, it's not over per se just because you're in the USL. If you keep working hard and keep doing your thing, you have that potential opportunity because you are being seen by coaches or teams or whatever. So I definitely do agree that there is a ton of talent down there. And I think it's something that should be put on the spectrum of, you know, looking for players for sure.
Boy, and with all the games being televised, I mean, you can watch all the games now too. It's just great for coaches and scouts around the league as well to be able to take in the games if they can't get there live, to be able to watch them. All right, so I'm sure you've had discussions with Todd Ramos. Can you take us into some of those discussions and what his expectations are and kind of your conversations with him ahead of preseason here?
Yeah, Todd's been extremely welcoming. I'm grateful that I get the opportunity to play under such a coach with such a resume that he has playing the game and now coaching the game. And You know, it's he's basically just telling me to come in and play the exact same style that I've been playing, you know, and he's a very direct kind of attacking threat coach. So I'm grateful that I get to come into a system where I can really express my abilities. So, you know, he's been extremely welcoming. The whole organization's been extremely welcoming, and I'm grateful that, you know, I get the opportunity to play here. So just going to work hard and, you know, just do my thing.
Tyler, how much studying of the Dynamo have you had? Do you understand what's going on here the last couple of years and really how this is a project under Todd Ramos that is a real return to relevancy for this organization, both competitively on and off the field? Are you fully understanding of kind of where that all is?
Yes, partially. You know, still trying to do my homework on it, but yeah, understand that it is a bit of a rebuild, correct?
Well, Tyler, listen, thank you very much. Now, I got some bad news for you. There are no Tim Hortons down here, okay? There are no Tim Hortons, which I love up in Canada, but there are no Tim Hortons, but there are a lot of good coffee shops. Really thankful that you came on the program. Thanks for enlightening us all about you. It gives us a good understanding to get off to, and we wish you the best of luck getting into preseason and getting going here April 17th, right around the corner.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate you having me.
All right, that's Tyler Pascher, Dynamo winger, coming to the club here. Great acquisition here in the offseason from Indy 11. You'll hear more about him. We'll take a quick break here. Break is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. More to come here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. This is our final segment tonight, and it is a good one. We will be joined by Texas soccer coach Angela Kelly. Six-game spring season for the Longhorns that will kick off February 28th when they take on the Houston Dash. Here's my interview with Angela Kelly last week. Some women's college soccer with Texas Longhorns head coach Angela Kelly. Angela, thanks for coming on the program.
No problem, Glenn. Pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a while since I heard your voice, so it's nice to hear your voice. How have you been handling everything with COVID and everything and maintaining your team? I'm sure it has been very, very challenging.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a broken record since last Friday, March 13th, to be exact, but it's I think the whole country is forging their way through this, and I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel, and just get people vaccinated and get everybody staying as safe and healthy as possible. And for us in the collegiate world, we're just trying to make it as normal and everyday as possible for each one of our athletes while keeping them tremendously safe and with safety as first concern.
And I know the last time I had you on the show, and that was a while ago, that you did talk to me about how, you know, individual conversations, you know, you and your staff with players were really, really important at this time. Just expand on that a little bit.
Well, I just think that you just need to be in constant communication. Back when we had that conversation, Glenn, it was all Zoom, right? And we were much less educated on the virus. We've been able to be in person throughout the course of the fall. Took a 2.5 month break, and the players are back on campus now. So it always feels a little bit more normal when you're back on campus and you're getting to see them every day in person. Obviously, mask up, and the social precautions that are being taken. But that human interaction, getting touches on the field as a unit, is a lot better than Zoom.
Yeah, no question about it. Angela Kelly joining us. Texas soccer, that you can follow them on the internet as well and on Twitter. Angela and her squad getting prepared to begin play in March. So you're going to get this spring season, and I got to think you're excited about getting more games. You had a Big 12 schedule this past fall. You're set to get started in March. When do you think your first game will be?
Well, I actually just talked to someone in your neck of the woods and confirmed today with James Clarkson at Houston Dash. We're going to have an exhibition against them on February 28th here in Austin. 4 o'clock is the estimated time of kickoff. So really excited to show our players, not only the standard at the next level, but from the top team in the league, from 2020. James is doing such a wonderful job there with that group. Then we head in the next week, versus Texas State, here on that Friday evening in Austin, 7 o'clock kickoff. Then we head to Baylor, March 11th. Obviously a great, in-conference opponent. Head down to Corpus Christi on March 26th, for an afternoon match. Head over to Baton Rouge, Louisiana to play LSU. And then finish off the schedule with, an exciting home match to end this spring season against University of Arkansas, the reigning number one seed in that conference, tied for first. So we're really pleased with the type of talent that we're going to be able to put our squad in front of this spring. And, you know, obviously everything is to be determined, right? We hope everybody stays safe. We have a couple more slots to maybe try to pick up a couple more regional matches. But if everything stays the same, we're pretty excited about the test that our players will see this spring.
Yeah, nice blend. Starting off with the Houston Dash of the NWSL. They won the NWSL Challenge Cup. They've been signing some players under James Clarkson. They've got U.S. national team players like Christy Mewis. That's exciting. Now, will there be the potential of anybody being able to come to the stadium socially distance and watch that game, or is this all behind closed doors?
Yeah, Glenn, we're going to follow the rules and regulations of what the state issues on that given weekend. And as of right now, I believe fans have been allowed back in our facilities up to 25% capacity. And I often joke we have the best facility in the country, but certainly the best social distancing facility in the country. So I think our 25% capacity is 3,000 people. So we'd be excited to have people join us versus the Dash, and then obviously for other two home matches that we have coming up later in the spring.
Yeah, that'll be a rare treat. There'll be national team players on both teams. And an opportunity to get out. Now, is that an afternoon game, by the way, that you mentioned in more at the end of February?
Yes. It's scheduled at the moment to be a 4 o'clock start. That's great for both teams, and hoping for a nice sunny afternoon.
All right, something else that's great, and we're talking to Texas head coach Angela Kelly. Amelia Abbott, New Zealand International. Tell us a little bit about her now that you've got her back on campus and getting ready to go with her.
She's just a tremendous young lady. She's halfway around the world. She's a holding midfielder, tenacious in a tackle, good in the air, great distribution. We obviously were excited to have her join us this past fall. And for all things out of our control, she was unable to come in August. And just happy that she's able to be here with us now. And she's adapting and acclimating very well.
So she's back, and then you've got a lot of these midterm enrollees, and you know, you've told me a lot about this, getting these players in. It really gives them an early jump. This is kind of the trend in women's college soccer. So tell me about, first, let's go to Lexi Missimo and Trinity Byers, these top recruits that you got. I mean, you've got some huge gems coming in with this recruiting class.
Yeah, they were top drawer soccer, ranked number one and number two in the country, and I think they're stats speak for themselves. They've been a tremendous duo since the age of nine, and they're just the best of friends. Wonderful character young women, but when they step on the field, it's just a joy to watch. And they're also all of the mid-years, and Amelia are acclimating very well. We're still in our 8-hour week. We begin our 20-hour week next week, but everybody's getting used to one another, getting used to movements, and I think when all cylinders are clicking, it's going to be a joy to watch.
So Lexi Missimo, tell us a little bit about her, the type of player she is. My understanding is she's kind of a creative attacking midfielder. I have not seen her play, so I'm just wondering if you can give us a little insight in her.
She's a consummate 10. She has a nose for the goal. She has a great weighted pass and spreads the ball. She knows how to get her teammates involved in the play, get everybody a touch, and she also knows how to go for the jugular. So, likes to combine, connect. She has great range of service. She strikes a heck of a ball, right and left foot. And I think, you know, as soon as she gets 22 yards and in, her eyes get really big. And I think that's the telltale sign of a goal scorer, somebody that's just, their eyes are big when they get in and around the goal, and she finds those spaces. But, you know, if you were to ask her, she loves to score, and she'll put that weight on her shoulders. But I also see her having a lot of joy sharing the ball and getting her teammates in to finish as well.
Angela Kelly, head coach of Texas. They are at Texas Soccer on Twitter. It's a very good Twitter page. They update things, a lot of pictures of the ladies' training, results, interesting things that are going on with the internationals that are on the team. All right, let's go to Trinity Byers, also a player from Solar FC. And, of course, you mentioned it. Top drawer called her the number one recruit in the nation.
Yeah, Glenn, she's a special goal scorer. She's an outright nine, more true than I've seen in a long, long time. And she just knows how to find seams in behind. And when she's playing with players that can have the proper timing of pass, she's lethal. And just the execution of her runs has just been, it's been really enjoyable to watch. I've recruited both of them for many years, but just seeing them live and in person, she can create something out of nothing. And obviously the partnership between her and Lexi for a long time. Lexi's been getting Trinity in, and Trinity's been doing the job and putting the ball in the back of the net. So excited for them to get involved with the rest of the group in the likes of the combination with Julia Grosso. And we have the great fortune of having Haley Berg with us this spring, training, getting ready to go off and play in the Pro League this upcoming summer with OL Reign. So we have a lot of exciting personalities on the ball, and it's just after 2.5 weeks, it's just been fun to watch how they think the game, how they think the game off of one another, and how they're looking to combine and join in with each other.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned Julia Grosso, the Canadian international, and Haley Berg. They are so much and have been so much fun to watch. So these midterm enrollees, and I'm going to add in here Lola Stanley, Ashlyn Miller, and I think it's Tati Fung. Are they eligible to play in any of these games this spring, or do they just train with the team?
It's Amelia Abbott and Lexi Missimo. Both those young ladies had graduated and were eligible to come in last fall. So the NCAA has put a pretty firm stamp on that. Only mid-year enrollees that are able to play are the ones that could have participated in the fall of 2020. But I'll tell you what, Tati Fung, who's had many appearances with the youth national team along with Trinity and Lexi, Lola Stanley and Ashlyn Miller, they make our second squad that we're training every day. We have an inter squad scrimmage every Friday. It's a battle, and I have to believe that they're pushing our starters to the level that they're going to need to face any opponent that we're going to face.
Well, having covered your team on LHN for so many years, I know every year I would always ask you, you know, just about the youth player coming into the college game now, how far advanced are they? And you know, you'd always tell me it's just incredible how accelerated their development is. Do you still feel the same way about that?
Yes. I mean, you know, we have the number one and number two player in the country, Tati Fung, also in the top 10. I mean, I think those players have had experience prior to college that just gives them even that much more insight to the game. And if I've said that to you in the past, I'd say the same things and put an exclamation mark beside it, because this group's ready to play.
And it's a great sign, too, that it's getting done in the youth community as well. And I know you have tons of ties there also. Tell me about what you learned. You know, you had the Big 12 schedule in the fall. What did you learn about this group during those games? And I guess they were pretty condensed, and it was very, very challenging with all the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, it was a different sort of fall. The travel was different. We had to be in a couple different buses. We were in individual rooms on the road, unable to meet in the smaller hotels, unable to meet as a big group as often as we would like. We had, you know, individual packaged meals instead of a team meal. And we're all about community off the field and spending time and watching film and in preparation for our next opponent. And, you know, that was just a little bit restricted. So it was an adjustment for the players. I think they got used to doing the Netflix Zoom together. So they weren't going back to each other's rooms. They were Zooming, watching the same movie. Netflix was brilliant to create that. But it was just different. And, you know, without very many fans at each venue, that's, you know, you see that in the EPL right now. The players are having to create their own energy, their own atmosphere. And there's moments of momentum that fans just are able to create. I thought that was, you know, really great to see last night in the Super Bowl. You know, they made it look like the facility was absolutely jam-packed, and they had their 25% or 50%, whatever they were able, and you could just sense the energy that those players fed off of. And we're really excited about getting back to that type of normalcy. But I'm really proud of the resiliency that our players showed in the fall. There was much more than the pandemic, Glenn. There was social unrest, which hasn't gone away, which we're excited to continue to talk about each and every day. We all know that it was a presidential election year. There was a lot to put on these players' plates, and not to mention that our opening match was Friday, September 11th, a very patriotic day in America. Yeah. So it was a ton. I was just really proud of how the players embraced it. We had tough conversations. We're going to continue to have those tough conversations, but we stayed together as a unit. And then, you know, when applicable, we were able to go after it. But we weren't able to have the football, if you will, the soccer, as the number one priority at every moment this past fall.
Angela, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. A great way to finish this show. We appreciate you always coming on when I ask, and it's great to catch up with you about everything Texas soccer and all the great work you're doing with young ladies and young women, improving them both on and off the field. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Glenn, it's a pleasure, and thanks as always for having me.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to all the guests, for all of you tuning in. Remember, you can get the podcast of this show at podcastarena.com, iTunes, or on Spotify. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. For our great producer, Aaron Raybould, a big thank you tonight, as usual. Also, remember, this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com, presenting you Soccer Talk Radio each and every week. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night. Stay safe. Stay warm.
ESPN 97.5.